What's going on, Clipper compatriots? It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
And we are a couple of best friends, and somehow Clippers credentialed media people.
We did it.
And we are Locked On Clippers. We bring you Clippers news 5 days a week as part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Hell yeah.
And we got a heck of a show lined up for you today. So we usually do Thirsty Thursday segments every single Thursday where we kind of just talk about what we want to see more of. And we got kind of a double dose of Thirsty Thursday for you this week. The first segment is going to be all PG related, what we're thirsty for from PG, what his future looks like as a Clipper. And then we're going to be talking a little bit. It's like a preview of looking at these Lakers matchups and also the Jazz matchup for the preseason. And then in shavings, which is just kind of where we wrap up all the loose ends floating around the NBA. We're going to be talking about some reporting on the Clippers. We're going to be talking about some great CP3 anecdotes and former Clipper killer JJ Barea.
Oh no.
Recently been cut by the Mavericks. Should we sign him? All that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes. So welcome to kind of the first part of Thirsty Thursday, Paul George edition. Will, what were we originally going to name this segment?
Is PGPP.
So this
not
is
like Pat Patterson. Like
this is what it's based off of. ESPN, the garbage media conglomerate that it is, ranked, they're doing their top 100.
There's some good journalists there. We don't need to completely disparage it.
There's two. They did their top 100, which is made for people to get mad at, which is fair. And I'm absolutely falling into this trap. Paul George is ranked 20th, which, look, that seems low, but you take the actual top 15, top 20, and you're like, well, I guess you convinced me, whatever. The real issue, which speaks to the larger problem with how basketball is covered in general, is that Zion Williamson is listed at number 19, ahead of Paul George. He's played 24 games in the NBA. He's not as good as Paul George. But this is kind of the disrespect right now that I feel like the realm Paul George is in. People have genuinely forgot how good he was even in the bubble. And now it's this thing of like Paul George is garbage.
Well, it sucks, right? Because it's been memeified as like, I mean, every day I see multiple PG backboard three kind of, this is an, you know, he was great though in that Denver series. I mean, it took him a while to get going, and you know, obviously you would have hoped for more in that game seven, but that was across the board, and I just think the guys didn't have it. They were, you know, they had played some phenomenal games that got pissed away.
We talked about it when it happened. We talked about it. We were like, we're wasting these performances, which we absolutely did.
And you know, it sucks because that's what gets remembered. But I mean, you know, that's just the way that it is. You know, you win and people remember it, you don't, and they don't. But the thing is, like, yeah, like you said, Zion, who I do believe is going to be a great player in the NBA.
Sure.
He currently is not better than Paul George. and I think that's asinine. I do think that Paul George is a top 15 talent. But depending on who else you got up in there, you can maybe argue me a little bit lower.
And it's close. Like that top 15, that top 10 or whatever, like is really close, right? Like there's not a big drop off between 10 to 15.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the guy was third in MVP voting for sure. That long ago.
It's, you know, to me, it's like 5-6 guys. Maybe you could stretch it to 8 that are like, those are franchise changing players. And I do see a drop off kind of from there.
The drop off from there is like to superstar, which is what's so funny.
Well, yeah, for sure. We're still talking superstars in this league. I mean, yeah. I still think Zion, you know, has the potential to be a superstar in this league for sure. He's not better than Paul George. That's asinine. but you know, this got your click. So
I actually took this from a Miriam Swanson screen cap. So I gave Miriam that aggregation. Shout out Miriam Swanson. But this speaks to a larger issue, which we'll talk about at some point at length, probably after a couple of scotches, about how all NBA coverage is built for Twitter and somehow also built for Instagram, which is so much worse than NBA Twitter. But let's talk PG. A lot of people kind of been talking like trade talks and whatnot. I feel like PG is going to be a long-term Clipper.
Yeah. So, I mean, especially from the fan base, it, you know, depending on who you talk to and depending on the day you gauge the interest, I mean, you know, like every, I mean, not every, but the majority of trade machine things that get sent to us this offseason have been revolving around PG. Certainly some other media outlets, like, you know, not directly related to the organization, have talked about possible kind of PG trades. You know, they're fun to entertain or whatever, but they're, you know, absolutely asinine at the same time. The thing is, officially reported by Sam Erick of The Athletic that the Clippers do remain fully committed to Paul George as a part of their program moving forward. And the roster moves that they made this offseason were cited in part to be to minimize the friction between teammates and George. And I mean, I think we know who they're talking about here. So, you know, that writing was kind of on the wall. Obviously through the playoffs, maybe even earlier, if you really kind of go back and look at some of those things, and certainly for sure. After the doubleheader, the midday doubleheader that Charles will never forgive. But yeah, so PG has recently said, you know, that he wanted to retire a Clipper. He said, every year, this is where my heart is. To which Dame Lillard, who I don't know why they're still feuding, but whatever.
I think it's in fun. I think it's in good jest.
I hope so too. But Dame said that it was all cap in a very classy way. He said Al Capone.
Which it's not classy.
It's pretty funny. It's pretty
it's,
funny.
It's okay.
It's a pretty funny jab. So
it's,
I guess,
a $30 eighth is how funny one is.
So you start, I mean, you started this off saying you see PG as a long-term Clipper. So do you buy into these comments? Like, do you think that Paul George intends to retire a Clipper?
I don't know if he intends to retire a Clipper. James Harden said he wanted to retire a Rocket. Like, I think...
Oh, he still does. He just wants to retire tomorrow.
Yeah, very good point. Very good point. I don't know, man. I think the home thing is a big deal. If Paul George had a ring, I think I would much more believe it. And that's not, this isn't to say anything bad about Paul George at all. And I think the other part of it is, man, we don't know what this franchise is really like behind the scenes in terms of moving pieces. You know what I mean? Like, this franchise is run like a business where if the good opportunity is there, you take it. And if there's an opportunity there that might involve Paul George at some point, it's not in the near future. It's not this year before the trade deadline. It's not maybe even next year, depending on what the contract extension sitch is, because Lawrence Frank has been pretty like kind of coy about that whole thing. I mean, I think he probably felt in the moment that he wanted to retire a Clipper, but we know how Paul George interviews goes.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I agree. And I do think that he's saying the right thing, but you know, so many other factors kind of tie into this. I mean, like you brought up, there is the very real possibility that you're not in control of whether or not you get to retire a Clipper, you know, vis-a-vis trade or whatever. And also, you know, opinions change. If they have another season, you know, that ends kind of poorly, and if certainly if, you know, there's as much frustration in the locker room interpersonally, I don't believe that he will have that same sentiment. I do believe, however, if we were to lose one of these two stars, I mean, we've talked about this before, I do see, I don't know, it's so hard to read Kawhi, but I do see Paul George yes. as being the one that would stay. If we were to lose one in that scenario, I still think that Kawhi wants to stay as well. I think it's very convenient for him.
Yeah, he's done everything you can do other than win an MVP.
Unless a you know an NBA expansion team opens up in San Diego, I think that I think that he does want to stay. But I would see Paul George, you know, I would see Paul George as making an effort to stay.
But now the question: do we want long-term Paul George?
Look, man, I'm going to preface it with this. If we win a chip, I will pay Paul George until he is 50 years old. And he can...
Bobby Bonilla style.
He can continue to say ridiculous things that I have to defend on the internet. He can continue to be the most in his feelings, top 15 player in the league. And I will continue to defend him online till my last breath. But...
stats to back it up, right? Like,
he is still look, man, there's no way around it. He's an elite player in this league. If for some reason you had talked yourself, or if, I mean, I hope we never talked you into thinking that he wasn't. I know I have been critical of him at times, but I say all that to say, like, he is an elite player in this league. Obviously, the shooting is absurd. He's in the 98th percentile in three-point gravity, which means that, like, when he has the ball in his hand outside, he's getting attention. And this, to me, is the perfect partner for someone like Kawhi, who wants to live in the mid-range, who could post up. He creates a lot of space for those guys. And he has one of – it's weird, right? Because he's an insane shot maker. So he has one of the lowest amounts of open three-pointers in the league. Around 16% of his total three-pointers are considered open.
It's because of the gravity.
And he still hits 39% of those shots. Like, he has an insane ability to make hard shots. I mean, I've been a fan of Paul George for a long time, you know, but you watch somebody from a distance, it's different from getting to see them in person for
team
on court. And he has, I mean, he still has, I think, one of the smoothest, if not the smoothest offensive games for a forward in the NBA.
He's up there with KD with smoothness.
Yes, for sure. For sure. And he's also, you know, an excellent passer. He was in the 98th percentile in passing versatility via Basketball Index, which just means, you can use him in a lot of different ways. It's perfect for what the Clippers are trying to do without a super ball heavy guard, you know. And there were times when it was working, it looked really, really good. And this sort of like passing versatility, I think, is going to be one of those keys to unlocking this play after the play. So far, the biggest sort of through line or theme that we know about what Ty Lue is planning to implement.
What if that's what the billboard says?
The play, play after the play. I love it. I mean, I think it's better than driven over driven, but whatever. I'd love it if it's the play after the play and it's just all the dudes sitting around playing poker.
Just hang.
Anyways,
just kick.
Anyways, I digress. I digress. Just going off of the passing thing too, I mean, he's in the 80th percentile of pick and roll ball handlers. He averages 0.97 points per possession. So he's scoring basically 50% of the time. And he handles the ball about seven times a game as the ball handler in the pick and roll, which... You know, he apparently was not happy with the volume that he got last season. So if we see even more, you know, that efficiency could drop a little bit. But the thing is if you look at other players that are around that kind of seven possessions per game as the main ball handler in the pick and roll, you got guys like Jimmy Butler, who averages less per game and only 0.85 points per possession, a paltry.
Childish.
0.85 points per possession to Paul George's 0.97. Mike Conley, an actual point guard, averages also 6.8 per game and about 0.84 points per possession. So also lower. And then you look at like the elite of elite for forwards who are, you know, point forwards or whatever you want to call them. You got LeBron James, and he's also about seven per game. And that, you know, granted, he does handle the ball in other scenarios, obviously.
For sure. A little more. Yeah. I mean, a lot more.
But he's averaging about 0.99 points per possession on those ball handling. So, you know, Paul George is right there. He does need to improve the turnover percentage, which we'll talk about a little bit later when we talk about some things he can improve on. But his passing versatility, like in his ability to pass, is one of those things that's always been exciting about him. I do see his frustration. Like while the numbers were there, I do think if guys, you know, weren't accustomed to getting in their spots when he had the ball in his hand, I do see how, like, to his opinion, it would feel like maybe he wasn't getting enough of those.
And they never practiced. So it's even worse.
and the thing is, you know, he is the main scorer when he's the ball handler in the pick and roll about 75% of the time, which, you know, is, you know, that's pretty standard. That's pretty standard for the position. But, you know, that other 25% of the time, he is getting guys going or at least attempting to. Obviously, the turnovers are detracting from that. But, you know, like that does open up the ability to sort of unlock the rest of this guys. And then obviously, I mean, defensively.
He's elite. Know, he's great. He gets his defense kind of, is underrated. He's elite. Somehow, I feel like.
He had to work into it, I do feel like, a little bit during the regular season. There was obviously times where he wasn't comfortable in his body.
And you're playing you're playing next to Kawhi, so your defensive prowess, unless it's on Kawhi's level, is going to get overshadowed.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. But he's like elite. He's in, you know, like the 81st percentile in the passing lane. He's an elite. I mean, like he's great at getting steals without generating a whole lot of fouls. Things he needs to work on, really, for me, is just the turnovers in general. Yeah. He has his turnovers in isolation. He's turning the ball over like 10% of the time, which we definitely saw this season. I do think that some of that will change with the comfortability. I brought up the pick and roll. He is turning over the ball about 16% of the time, which I mean, isn't terrible. Like I said, he's still like in the 80th percentile for ball handlers in that. But if he could get to that elite level, which for the position is like 11 to 12% turnover percentage, like it's not unfeasible that he could get closer. He could get closer to that number, maybe like even 13%, I think would open up his ability as a ball handler a lot more. And once again, like I talked about how great of a shot maker he is. I think there are times where he could pick his spots a little bit better.
He needs to get to the foul line more.
I'm hoping that, you know, having a fully healthy body, hopefully we don't have any hamstring flare-ups or anything like that, is going to help.
Ooh, knock on
with
wood.
That. I would also, like, depending on the lineups that he's playing in, you know, if he's getting staggered with some of those bench guys, depending on who's out there, I would love to see him rebounding at a little bit higher of a rate. And then another weird stat I was looking at, and this is kind of more of a Ty Lue thing, but I would kind of love to see him utilized on cuts a little bit more. He doesn't even make one cut a game, but when he does cut,
that's such a funny stat. I love basketball stats so much.
It's not even one cut a game, dude. It's like a half or a third of a cut per game. But
it's a fake.
He's finishing those cuts at like a 67% field goal percentage, and on those very minuscule amount of cuts that he's making, he's averaging something like 1.57 points per possession. So it's almost a guarantee. And obviously the efficiency drops when he does it more, but you talk about the play after the play. That's one of those things that I feel like if Paul George can cut to the rim, you know, you just have another option there.
A lot of
depending on the spacing once again.
So that's the thing, like with Ty Lue's system, a lot of people are anticipating a bunch of good stuff for PG this year. Go check out LA Clippers film room stuff about how Paul George needs to be utilized by Ty Lue more. He's got a bunch of good film breakdowns on Twitter. I couldn't agree more. When I'm really excited to see what happens with Paul George this year. I'm going to go out on a limb and say I think he's actually going to be better than Zion Williamson, despite what ESPN says.
Wow.
Call me crazy.
Big time.
Big time. Let us know what you think is going to happen with Paul George at Locked On Clips. A lot of people were on our side, and when it came to being mad about Zion being better than PG, fantastic stat stuff right now. Man, we don't usually get this stat heavy. I love it. Coming up, we're doing another Thirsty Thursday segment, just kind of talking about this weird preseason we have coming up.
Okay, so we're back. This is Thirsty Thursday Part 2. We're talking preseason. Obviously, we will have a preview for all y'all on tomorrow's episode. For two games against the Lakers. But we're kind of just talking our preseason expectations today. Chuck, you want to kick us off? What are we thinking?
I don't know. I feel dumb saying that, but I think a lot of Clippers fans are in the same realm where we obviously want everything. We want everyone to look healthy, which other than Jay Scrubb, who had to get surgery, from what the coaching staff has said, everyone's healthy. Everyone is running through drills full speed. Ty Lue said Kawhi and PG look phenomenal, I believe was the quote. So I want that to happen. I want there to be, I guess, the biggest.
Hope Luke Kennard didn't take a knock and twist his wrist a little, you know?
I just twisted my wrist in practice. I want to see, here's something I think we might see. I think we're going to see maybe more plays run in the preseason than at any other point when Doc was coach. And I don't know if that's an
expectation. I don't know about that.
Well, they have to drill things down, right? Like, we have to get things drilled down at an actual game speed. And I'm not saying, like, plays with the starters. I'm saying in general.
I don't agree with that. I mean, it's not
that Doc
never.
We need it, though, man. We need the system.
It's not that Doc never ran plays. Like, it was just that, I mean, and once again, part of this is due to the continuity errors, but there weren't clear enough defined roles within those plays. So when things would break down or guys couldn't get the shot.
The play after the play, if you will.
Yeah, when guys couldn't get the shot that was clearly like the first option or the second option, we would see a lot of useless ball movement and a lot of breakdowns. And so
that mean maybe, I guess, better plays would be a better way to say it then, right? Like just getting drilled down into the system is what I want to see, is like making something out of nothing or something, like in a actual way, not just like hurling up a shot or something like that. Like,
for sure.
I'd want to see, and I think guys are going to buy in. So like, yeah. And I want to see Paul George do more than half a cut now that we know that stat.
I mean, we'll see. The thing is, I'm right there with you. I'm a little bit hesitant to sort of like handicap these matches or anything, but part of it for me is also, I do not know what to expect from the Lakers. Obviously,
AD and Kawhi, AD and LeBron, aren't going to play, basically, is what we've kind of been told from Vogel.
Yeah. They're coming off such a short, such a short offseason. And then you have some new pieces to work in there. Do you think they just go heavy, heavy Schroeder and Trez pick and roll?
They probably will. Honestly, this might be a PR game for the Lakers where they just try and get Trez as many dunks as possible. So it makes it seem like he's like the Clipper killer. I just thought of that, but I feel like that's genius. people are going to overreact to these games no matter what. It's going to be horrible. So Clippers fans, just batten down the hatches. We're going to have to keep those hatches battened down pretty much all year, unless you win every game. From the Clippers, we talked about we want to see 10 to 15 minutes from Kawhi and PG together would be great.
That's total. However they end up staggering them, I'm fine with. Like I said, I talked about this a little bit in the last episode, but I just want to see us just emphasize process and continue to just throw stuff at the wall.
Faster would be nice.
This to me is the, yes, some faster play would be great. I want to see guys like Luke Kennard really getting some minutes, seeing what they can do with the tools available at their disposal.
I think he's going to play a lot.
This to me is the beta test, man. This is where it's time to work out the kinks. You have these three games.
Goddamn.
all against Western Conference contenders. You couldn't ask for sort of a better slate of games to warm things up to. And even if we're not seeing guys, we're obviously not going to see guys at full capacity, and it's not going to have the same intensity as a regular season game. It might at parts, but
for some guys, it will.
This is the time to be as experimental as absolutely possible. So I hope that we see, I just hope that everybody on the bench ends up getting some run, and and that we get to see some sort of unique combinations. I'm probably gonna be charting up the lineups as the game happens, and I'm hoping to see quite a few different things.
If there's red flags, how much do red flags matter in a preseason thing? You know what I'm saying?
I mean, what's the red flag?
That's what I'm saying. Let's say the red flag is someone looks off, quote unquote, right? He didn't look really hit. This with the system, I guess, is really what I'm worried about. You know what I mean? If there's not play after the play, there's a part of me that's going to be a little all right, let's hope we iron it out on Sunday. get it figured out then. Cause I just want to see guys buying into Ty Lue, I guess, is what I'm really, really looking for.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, right? They practiced Sunday through Wednesday. took a day off. I'm assuming they're going to practice Thursday, but it'll probably be a walkthrough or a light practice.
Yeah.
While I say that, we want to get these rotations figured out, it's not going to be anything definite. That's why it's time to test. And I don't think that we're going to probably immediately notice systematic changes. I don't know that we're going to immediately be able to identify fully what Ty Lue has planned for this offense thus far, just because guys haven't had enough
time. But yeah, it's such a short offseason. It's crazy. And we have major additions to the bench.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So red flags to me, man, I'm just trying to think of what would be an actual real thing that would cause me concern.
And we're not talking the I word. That's not going to come up in this scenario at all.
No. I mean, that's something you can't account for. Obviously, that's going to worry you. I don't know. Yeah, I honestly don't know of a red flag that's really going to make me worry about anything through these first three games. I told you though, I'm taking it easy this season, dude.
You're just zoned out. I think my biggest red flag would be if Paul George decided to shoot with his opposite hand.
That would be concerning. Yeah.
Larry Bird style. Let us know, you know, what you're feeling at Locked On Clips throughout these preseason games. We're going to try and figure out a streaming situation. Might do like a post-game stream. We'll see what's going on over on Twitter at Locked On Clips. Coming up in Shavings, where we just kind of recap everything. We're talking Bill Simmons being a dummy, CP3 and JJ Redick being pretty candid about the Clippers time, and then a new free agent that Will seemingly really wants on the Clips.
Okay, so we're back with Shavings. Before we get into things, got to tell you about this Locked On NBA season preview. Ooh,
please do.
Look, we all know the wait is almost over. The 20-21 NBA season is almost here. And lucky for you, Locked On NBA podcast will get you ready with a special week of shows beginning December 14th. Get previews of every team, division by division, from all 30 Locked On local experts, including us. Plus,
hey, technically.
Technically. Plus, you can hear waiver wire additions from Locked On Fantasy Basketball, hear about rookies to watch from Chad Ford, and predictions on each division from Rejecting the Screen. Subscribe to Locked On NBA wherever you get podcasts. Back to Clips. We're talking Shavings, whatever else is floating around the Clippers. What do we got today? Charles wants to throw hands with Bill Simmons. What do we got?
So Bill Simmons on his podcast today, they were talking about like the subject was like, can Kawhi be the guy for the Clippers? And it's like, I don't understand this argument at all. The man has two finals MVPs, depending how you feel about how they were given out on the first one, especially, but it's still two finals MVPs. He's one of the most proven like champion, you know, like everyone who's won a championship in the role that Kawhi has had to play is in that like, oh, you've proved, you know, you kind of have what it takes to get a team to a championship. I just hate this discourse. Like calling into question that somehow having Kawhi and PG isn't enough is so insane to me and shows just a true lack of genuine, I don't know, not love for the game, but like ways to actually articulate the game and how it works.
I mean, like, once again, this is one of those things where, they got our click on this.
I didn't so I click. Guess,
like, mission, so I, so I like, I guess mission accomplished, but I mean, I agree. Like the question is asinine. Obviously Kawhi can be the guy on any team. He's proven that he can do that. Is it the same level that like maybe LeBron is like the total leader and is the system, you know, quote unquote? No, I mean, they're different players. Yeah,
that's
different guys.
That's a plateau that no one might ever get to again.
Right. It's like, and that's fine. That's also fine. You can also be great and not have to be like that guy.
Yeah.
There's only one of that guy.
Right. Yeah.
So, like, I don't know why he's being held to sort of that standard, but obviously he can be the guy for the Clippers, man. I think that it's unfortunate how things went down last season, but like, man, even before the bubble, it was a plagued season for the Clippers, just with availability and stuff. I think like, and Kawhi, you know, once again, we talked about this off top. Kawhi had some immaculate performances in that Denver series that got pissed away by poor rotations.
For sure.
And there were other factors as well, for sure. But, I think that it's a silly question. Are we having this same conversation if they make it to the Western Conference Finals and get beat by the Lakers? I mean, I don't know. Maybe it is still the conversation. But I think until proven otherwise, Kawhi can absolutely be that guy for the Clippers or any team.
100%. Then moving on, CP3 and JJ Redick were talking Clips on a recent podcast, as every former Clippers player seems to be doing right now. And there was just kind of some interesting doc stuff. Like they said, against every single team during that Lob City era, they'd be able to move the ball with slip screens and getting the ball to JJ for threes. But When they played the Warriors with their heavy switching, it turned into ISO ball, and Doc would be yelling, move the ball at everybody. And CP3 would be like, no one's open. And it's just kind of goes to that like no adjustment situation. But this is such a weird kind of thing, because I feel like all of this has been really a big indictment on Doc Rivers, but the Clippers as a whole are getting the blowback. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Agreed. I mean, look, dude, Doc was great while he was here. I thank him so much for bringing this franchise to where it is and like what, you know, what he is as a human being and
100%
like, to culture in general. But like, let's be honest, man, the guy has the most blown 3-1 leads for a reason. There's not, you know, like there's not adjustments being made. There's like a clear problem there, especially when you look at the amount of talent that he sometimes had at his disposal. And yeah, now while most I think the Lob City Clippers really only ever had one legitimate shot at, you know, possibly winning a title, it, you know, that still is not a shot that you get to take very often.
For sure.
So I don't know that it's necessarily just an indictment on Doc so much as it is also a compliment to the greatness of the Warriors.
Oh, that's a good call. All right, let's close with this this Updike pitch for a possible new addition to the Clippers.
All right, so Tim McMahon of ESPN reported that the Mavs planned to release J.J. Barea. Apparently, this had kind of been talked about before. Mark Cuban wanted to make sure that his man got paid for all those years of service, as well as a championship that he won with that franchise.
Yeah.
What do you think about J.J. Barea, noted Clipper killer? You think he's a good pickup for the Clips?
I don't know, man. I mean, for a locker room perspective, probably, right? But I mean, I can't see him getting any legitimate playing time. But from a locker room perspective, sure.
I disagree on the playing time thing. He averaged 8-2-4 in 15 minutes per game last season. I think you keep him at that same level. Obviously,
he doesn't he's help poor the defensively. He doesn't. Obviously, he doesn't help that.
He helps the backcourt, just not defensively. He did have an Achilles injury, so yeah, the defense is definitely not getting any better. But like I said, average 8-2-4 in only 15 minutes. His splits were 41 from the floor, 38 from three, and 91 from the line. You know, I don't know. It's if you're picking him up for nothing, if nothing else, it moves Reggie deeper into the rotation.
That'd be funny. It'd also be funny to see the one person who buys a J.J. Barea Clippers jersey, which would just be a trip to see. No, I mean, who knows? Like, I guess we have that one spot open or whatever. Vet Min seems like it could work, I guess. But yeah, I don't know. Do you think he ends up anywhere?
I would think somebody would pick him up.
Yeah, I mean, he's got like the, you know, he's like, he seems like a great locker room guy. Obviously, you don't stick with the team that long if you're not. So that'd be interesting. Anything else in Chavins we got going around?
No, man. That about wraps it up.
That wraps it up. On Friday, we're going to have a double preseason game preview, which is really going to be just one preview because we don't know what the hell the team looks like at all. There's probably going to be some press availability tomorrow. We haven't gotten an email about it yet, but I think that might be coming soon. As well as a Love, Mary quarantine. And then whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland, we're at the home stretch, man. The season is basically here.
It's already upon us. Yeah,
it's already upon us. Where can these people tell their friends to listen to us?
Tell your friends to listen to us on iTunes or the podcast app. We're also on Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on Deezer. We're basically anywhere you listen to podcasts. If you haven't already, please subscribe. It definitely helps us out. And if you like what we're doing, leave a rating or review. We'll definitely read it on air. So thanks so much for rocking with us.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to come at you guys 5 days a week. Again, we might be doing that live stream after the Friday game. We're going to get figured out. I have been positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.